RNZ Let's Talk TV. And Linda Burgess joins us in Wellington. Hi, Linda.
Hello, Jesse.
I should point out that Linda has just written an excellent piece for the spin-off website, which, well, you can describe it, Linda. It was getting a bit of attention over the weekend.
Yeah, it did get attention. And it embarrassed my children, no end, I think, actually. And they said, oh, Granny swears. Because it's about swearing. So it's funny, I've got this double, this sort of ambivalent attitude to writing these things. It was really about lots of things. You know, but one thing it was about, I guess, was swearing. And about what it feels like at the moment to be... about what you can do to make yourself better, in fact, during hard times. And so I have been watching food TV, a bit of food TV, not a lot, but I just want to talk about Jamie Oliver, who I was linking that into swearing.
The piece is called On Cooking Shows and Cursing, and Linda is a wonderful award-winning writer, and I encourage you to go onto the spin-off and read it.
Thank you. Yeah.
On the recommendation of Emma John last week on the show, my wife and I just watched The Salisbury Poisonings, which I can tell the audience is very, very good, very enjoyable.
Yeah, I'm halfway through that. I watched one episode, Robert watched the second, and I haven't watched the second yet, but it's well done.
As I said to Emma last week, it's always fascinating when you get a sort of a really in-depth look at something that you only sort of half knew about. You know, there's so much more detail when you look at it.
And it's better than a docudrama. It's a drama based on a true story. And I don't know, it worked. That was particularly good. But also, I mean, it's people's greatest, well, it's not people's greatest fear, but it's a hell of an awful fear that they can actually put poison into an environment which could have killed a whole town.
But again, just the parallels with what we're going through at the moment, the invisible enemy.
The invisible enemy.
And the public health response.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just emailed your notes to my wife, Victoria, because I thought this first one, Mrs. America, sounds like us.
Oh, well, yeah, it is like you. It's terrific. Did you like Mad Men?
Yeah, we really did. Yeah. We did all of Mad Men.
And this is the, it's one of the Mad Men writers, Darby Waller. I started to look up to see whether that was a man or a woman, and I still don't know. I got distracted. Mm-hmm. But it's set in the early 70s, and it's it's about the Equal Rights Amendment, women's rights. And it takes true Kate. Well, Kate Blanchett stars in it. And actually, I don't know what's happening at the Emmys at the moment because they're sort of happening as we speak.
Yeah.
But she was nominated for Best Actor for this. She's a conservative woman who's anti-women's rights, who says that giving women's rights will make them go and they'll have to be soldiers and they won't be able to stay at home and cook for their families and all the things that they naturally like to do. Actually, the really interesting thing about it is how rare that the centre of a drama is actually from that conservative and position.
100%.
Yeah.
I often wonder, watching shows, what it must be like if you happen to not be a democratic liberal.
I know, me too.
And how alienating it would be.
So we sit there sitting smugly there listening to people like us. And I know. And so they do a very, very good job with her. And, of course, she speaks enough truth. Because anything like feminism has, I mean, I was absolutely that age. I've gone through that. And women have found themselves in the position of having full-time jobs, but still basically taking most of the responsibility for the house and the children. You know, men, you know, have help enormously. Mm. But when it comes to knowing that the kids have to be picked up at 4 o'clock or whatever, that is almost always the woman who remembers that.
Well, they call it the emotional labour, don't they?
Yeah, well, they should. And so there's enough truth, but also she is spectacular. She sweeps in, you know, beautifully groomed, wearing pink suits. And she looks, you know how good Mad Men looked?
Yeah.
This one looks good in the same way. But it's also got Gloria Steinem, who was the sort of pretty face of feminism in the early 70s. She started a magazine called Ms. And she was particularly sort of pretty with long hair and big glasses, really lovely looking. And so they often put her forward because so many people implied that feminists were just women who couldn't get a husband even if they tried. And there's a lovely, not lovely at all actually, but in the first episode, I think, the sister-in-law, or sister, I'm not quite sure, of the character played, Kate Blanchett's character, she isn't married and she would like to be, and she goes to a meeting with Kate Blanchett, who says to her, look, you've got our family and, you know, we love you and you don't need your own. And then Kate Blanchett sort of mocks women who aren't married at the meeting. And so, and it's done very subtly. That doesn't sound subtle, but it was subtle. Mm. And I think it's very good. I've just watched two episodes. I'm quite new to it. But there's also Tracy Ullman as Betty Friedan, who's another... she was a much older feminist, more first wave feminist. And so
Tracy Ullman, great to see her back on TV.
Yeah, and she's good. And but also another, Uzo Aduba, she's Shirley Chisholm, who was actually the first black woman to run for president in
the
United States.
Who has, by the way, I can tell you, just won Best Supporting Actress at the Emmys just now.
Oh, for that?
Yeah.
Oh, terrific. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, no, that's good news, actually. But I recommend it as a good, interesting drama, and not too hard. You know, it's not too complex. But it's complex enough. I like it. I really like it.
One season, yeah. 9 episodes.
Yeah. And they call it a mini. They call it something limited series. What they call them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Do you think there'll be another season?
Like, I don't know. I'm only 2 episodes in.
Oh, okay.
Possibly not. I mean, because it is you could go on forever, couldn't you, really, about feminism. But no, it's a good...
What a cast. I love Elizabeth Banks as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, who's she?
She plays a Republican feminist activist. Co-founder of the National Organization.
Yeah, she's probably just coming in, actually, into the storyline.
Cool. Thank you, Linda. I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, that's good. But also, I followed your advice and watched The Great, which is... These are all on Neon, by the way, because last... These three are all on Neon. I don't
know if we've talked about The Great on air yet. Maybe we have. Catherine the Great. I know, but I've been telling everyone, but I can't remember if I've talked about it on air. So you better tell people, yeah.
Okay.
So what's it all about?
Well, it's about Catherine the Great, but it's very, very loosely linked. It's a comedy, really. It's clever, isn't it? I mean, I was glad that you recommended it, because she comes and marries Peter the Third of Russia, and he keeps worrying what he's going to call himself, because there's already been a Peter the Great. And so she keeps sort of, you know, Peter the Terrible, Peter the, you know, trying to think of other names for
him. He is horrible.
He is. It's brilliantly filmed, isn't it? The locations are quite spectacular. A friend of mine said she thought it might actually be one of the Russian palaces, but I looked it up and actually it's a palace in the south of Italy. You know, with full of still beautiful walls covered in wonderful paintings and huge marble staircases. It's extraordinary. Mm. And a lot of the other houses in it are just English stately homes. You know, they've got so many of them.
But it feels like Russia, doesn't it?
It feels like Russia. And she wants to become... She goes off when she marries him, you know, and she crosses over the border. It's like Marie Antoinette, actually. You know, she just goes over the border and she's got great expectations of being able to do good. And he's not the slightest bit interested in doing good. And she tries to start a school and he dumps on that. So she wants... It's really about her become plotting with her maid, who's also a gentlewoman who's been, but plotting to become the queen if he dies, and obviously when he dies, and they are working at that as well. I'm about, I don't know, 3/4 of the way through the first series.
Yeah.
I like it. It's funny. It's funny, but it's not silly. It's actually very, very well done. It is. It's very enjoyable.
It's really fun. And, you know, I suppose I'm not the sort of person to, like, bust a gut to try and watch a period TV drama. You start watching, you go, oh, this is all right.
Yeah.
Do you know much of the history? Because I don't.
No, I do a bit. I've read it. You know, I think I actually did some at university in Russian history. I'm interested. But no, I don't.
Right? Same thing.
Yeah, it's better, but they've also did that thing last year, the Helen Mirren, Catherine the Great, because I've mentioned The Great to a few people and they said, oh, that's good, isn't it? It's got Helen Mirren in it.
Yeah.
No, it hasn't. It's actually got Elle Fanning, who's an absolutely exquisite-looking woman who plays the part.
You love her more and more as the series progresses, I think.
She's good. She... Yeah, strong.
The sister of Dakota Fanning, I believe.
Oh, is she?
I presume makes her American, which I wouldn't have guessed.
Tracy Ullman's not American either, so, you know, they can act, these people, they can put on a
front. I suppose so. What's the subtitle, where they call it an occasionally true
story? Yeah, I meant to write that down, but I think they do say that, but something like that, an occasionally true, yeah. And so it makes it very clear that they're not trying to pretend, they're not pretending to be real.
So all of these shows are on Neon Lightbox, or whatever. It's just called Neon now. And that one is called The Great.
The Great. And the last one, I know Caitlin talked about this last week, I know that too recently, but is I Hate Susie, which I think has got one of the best first episodes that I've ever seen.
The photo shoot,
the tension in it, but also the sort of all of these programs actually looks at what's real and what isn't, and duplicity, you know, just, and the whole world is just one big duplicitous place, and we sort of know that now because we just do. But I loved the irony of the setting. Susie is an actress, and she's a TV actress on it. What's in a Nazi
zombie?
Zombie Nazi. And everybody who comes to do the shoot, and there are about 20 of them, none of them really know. They know she's famous. They don't know what for, because none of them watch television. They're all the young sort of cameramen. And so I thought that was actually really interesting.
And they're both respectful of her, and there's just this little tone of something else going on.
Couldn't care. I know, couldn't care less. Meanwhile, of course, she's just been someone who's just hacked her camera and found a photo of her with someone who clearly naked, or someone who clearly isn't her husband. And so that's all going on while a photo shoot's taking place. But the photo shoot in the cottage is just hilarious, because, you know, the British always have these sort of gorgeous cottages like Jamie Oliver does, you know, lovely houses. And but it's not what they want. You know, they come in carrying extra pot plants and plants, and they bring two dogs, because she doesn't have dogs, so they bring two lovable big terriery looking dogs. And I just thought that was genius, because they expected her to have dogs, you know, who would live in the country like that and not have two dogs? So they're giving her them, and it's completely untrue, she's allergic to dogs. But all of that, I just loved that. And her deaf son, and I looked him up, he's so good, it's your little boy. I looked him up and I thought, good, he actually is a deaf kid.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. And he plays soccer for some deaf primary school team. You know, that's
all
he
goes to. Did you tell me, Linda, there was some point during that series where you wondered if you were too old for it or something along those lines?
That was another one that I was watching. Well, I did say that to you, but not on air. I just said that.
There are some pretty sort of frank scenes and a couple of, I suppose, quite boundary breaking scenes. But yeah, people can handle it, right?
Oh, of course they can. Yeah. Even if don't be a wimp about things like that. And don't watch it. If it worries you, don't watch it. Or, you know, I mean, fast forward it or whatever. But no, but that one, I love honesty, you know. I love something when they get it right. And with these three programs, somebody has really got it right. You know, there's just that general feeling of being right. And that's what I think they're all good for, actually.
Love it.
And being about women. And have you watched Schitt's Creek? I just want to ask you that. And Watchmen?
No, I was a bit off put by the name.
Yeah, me too.
See, it's winning all the awards at the Emmys as well.
And they expected it to. And Watchmen, have you read that? Watched that?
No.
That's
also winning.
Because
I've got a bit of a superhero, you know,
version. Yeah, me too.
I'm sure it's really good, though.
Yeah, just one.
You and I just sit here with our prejudices,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know.
We'll avoid period dramas and rude titles.
And no, and don't know anything about that, but I'll still talk about it anyway.
Okay,
you know
nice
that.
One. Thanks.
Okay, thank
Linda
you.
Burgess, our TV critic, and you can read her latest essay. It's called On Cooking Shows and Cursing. That's on the Spin-Off website. I'm excited about this. Oh, by the way, if you missed that first TV show title, it was Mrs. America. It was one created by one of the Mad Men writers, and talking about feminism, the emergence of feminism in the 70s.